Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. As many of you know, we have been every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We have been having discussions on an upcoming event which will be taking place the whole month of June 2023. The event will involve calling, emailing, and letter writing to the media, to legislative members, to governors, and whomever else we can think of. There is so much injustice in the United States prisons. Around this country, there are things going on. The suicide rates are very high. The sentencing compared to other countries in the world. We have mass incarceration, 2.3 million in prisons and jails in the United States of America. That is unheard of in any other country. We are up there with the human rights violations as well. We don't need any of our presidents, government leaders, to be going over to other countries and telling them how to run their prisons or their human rights when we have so much more injustice going on in this country. All other countries in the world, the maximum sentence is 25 years, unless it involves terrorism, serial killing, mass murders. Other than that, life sentences don't exist. We have people in prison who are being violated, who are being abused, tormented, tortured, deprived, provoked, harassed, denied all kinds of programs purposely so that if they do get an opportunity to go up for parole, they have nothing to go for it because prison officials have kept them from participating in any programs. We have people in prison who are being housed with the worst of the worst. We have female prisoners overseen by male guards in a lot of these female prisons throughout the country. Many of you must have heard about Lowell Prison in Florida, where all these female incarcerated individuals were being raped by guards. We have female guards in male prisons. Things shouldn't be taking place. And because it is taking place, it demonstrates that our prison officials, the Department of Corrections around the country, look for any way that they can to have some form of entertainment, sick entertainment. How many times have we heard of female, incarcerated females getting raped by guards, male guards? Female prisoners having sex with their fellow workers and with the incarcerated. We have to look at the contracted providers in the Department of Corrections around the country. And we bring this up all the time. WellPath is a pure example. WellPath is in 36 or 37 states. They've had over 1,000 lawsuits filed against them. Malpractice. And yet, they're still in these prisons around the country. They're still permanently damaging incarcerated individuals. And the Department of Corrections knows that WellPath has a bad reputation. Their founder, as a matter of fact, has been in violation, has been in court for bribery and corruption. We, the taxpayers, are paying all this money to the Department of Corrections around the country, only to know that the money that we're spending is being used to bring in cheap, deceptive, inexperienced providers who once become contracted with the Department of Corrections, start taking orders from the Department of Corrections. Prisoners are over-medicated, walking around like zombies, involved with drugs. Now, we wonder where the drugs are coming from. There's been an epidemic in this country, the COVID virus, for the last 3 years. Friends and families were not allowed to go into the prisons to meet with their loved ones. And yet, drugs are still being used heavily by prisoners in the Department of Corrections around the country. Where are the drugs coming from? We have to look at these elderly prisoners in their 60s, 70s, 80s, in wheelchairs, during Alzheimer's, some terminally ill, and yet they're still sitting in a prison because of the inhumane treatment of our government, not willing to let them go, not even to let them go, where they can't even take care of themselves, never mind hurt anybody else. We have to look at the elderly, 50 and older, being in adult elderly prisons, and anything under to be young adolescent to middle-aged prisons. And then we have to look at the youth who should not be in adult prisons at all. They should be in the Department of Youth Services until they're 21. And then from 21, go into the young adult prisons. But there's no reason why they should be mingling and mixing all ages together, all different crimes together. When you think about rehabilitating someone, you're not going to put a first-time offender in with serial killers or mass murderers, but they do. And all of these mass incarcerations in the United States of America also means that a lot of these people have to be cramped in cells with others or another. These cells are small enough as it is. And if these people, these incarcerated individuals, are serving life sentences, they should have their own cells. They should not be forced to double cell. They should not be forced to cram in with other prisoners. How would you like it if you were incarcerated in a cell the size of a small bathroom to spend the rest of your life and then have to have another individual in there with you? Think about it. June event is going to be phone calls, letter writing, and emails every single day for the entire month of June. And we're calling all of you, everyone, agrees that this injustice must stop in the United States prisons. There's diseases, tuberculosis, there's so many different things that prisoners, the incarcerated individuals, end up with because they're cramped in cells, the air is not clean, they're breathing the same air in all the time. A lot of them being kept in solitary or restrictive blocks. A lot of them not able to go outside and really enjoy the fresh air. We have to look at this because these diseases can somehow spread. It could spread through family members, friends that are visiting now that they are starting to allow visits. And then if it gets in the communities, think about what could happen. It could spread like wildfire, just like this coronavirus has done. We have to look at these things. We also have to look at the Department of Mental Health. It is said that the Department of Mental Health and the American Psychological Association, two organizations that deal with the mentally ill and yet will not touch a prison, mentally ill individuals are in prison. That is sad. How do you start a Department of Mental Health organization and American Psychological Association, but yet you don't find these people that are incarcerated good enough to treat when in fact they should not even be in a prison? They should be in a long-term residential treatment facility, either for mental health issues or for addictions. We know these are epidemics in the United States of America. Our government knows. But then it brings us right back to another thing. Large corporations that are benefiting off of these incarcerated individuals. Modern day slavery. These individuals that do get jobs in the prison are getting paid 94 cents a day. Some are lucky to get maybe more, a little bit more. But what are these large corporations getting for the products that they are producing? They're getting paid all kinds of money. We have limited visits with prisoners and their loved ones. Very limited. And the Department of Corrections is still trying to make it more distant. We have to look at the reasons why there are prisoners that have not attempted suicide. Their families, their friends have kept it together. Their advocates have kept it together. But what about those without families, without friends, without advocates who are rotting away in prisons? And a lot of them no one knows about. And what's happening to them? We don't even know what kind of abuses or violations they're going through. But we know that we have to do something about these things. So I am asking and challenging all of you who are aware of these injustices to join us, to come on the show about your feelings, your opinions, whether you agree or not. And if you do agree, how you can help, what you can do. Now, we have on with us a couple of callers, and I believe I will let you introduce yourselves. 215.
Hi, Leona. This is Dorothy Jean.
Hi, Dorothy. How are you?
I'm a little bit out of breath moving 600 pounds of furniture, but I'm okay. I wouldn't miss the show.
Okay. I'm going to let you speak in a minute, Dorothy, but I wanted to also bring in 440.
Yeah, get the other callers.
440?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Angie and my sister Rhonda. You were talking
Hi,
about
Angie.
CARES. Hi.
Hi, Angie. Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
Hi.
Okay, I'm going to let Dorothy, Angie, and Rhonda introduce themselves, and then we can take it from there. Angie, you
okay,
just
well,
started to say something?
I was going to introduce you to my sister Rhonda. We have a loved one that's in federal prison, and she's pretty knowledgeable on federal, and she wanted to share a little bit about the health care real quick, if that was okay.
Okay, that would be great. While Dorothy is catching her breath, Dorothy's been moving furniture. So Dorothy Jean, we'll get back to you in a second. Okay, Rhonda, please introduce yourself.
No problem.
Hi, I'm Rhonda. I have a loved one that's I'm from Ohio, and I have a loved one that's in federal prison who is they actually have him in Texarkana, Texas, and we haven't been able to visit each other in over a year or anything like that. But their health care sucks. My husband's teeth broke in half because he's got dentures, and they broke in half. And so he's been without his teeth now for 7 months because he said the dentist told him that he is number 400 on the list, and there's a 4-year wait. So he has to go for 4 years without having his teeth.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it's ridiculous. And he had, you know, he gets medicine. He's supposed to get medicine from the eye doctor, which, you know, even the eye doctor said to him straight out, he's like, yeah, good luck at your follow-up visit. Because it was an out-of-the-prison doctor appointment.
Now, you say he's in a federal or a state?
He's in federal.
Federal prison.
Federal
prison,
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about
Texas?
Can you talk a little bit about the federal prisons compared to state prisons? Angie can talk about the state, but
yeah, I was gonna say I don't know too much about the state. I learned a lot just recently about the federal system and how just the BOP, they make their own rules. You know, what the courts don't consider the courts don't consider my husband's charge a violent charge, but the BOP does because there was a gun involved. Even though it was just a simple possession charge. You know, they make their own rules. They're behind on their CARES Act programs that they're supposed to be implemented. My husband went, you know, he was supposed to get a review in November, but of course he went 4 months without a case manager. So his review, you know, had to be pushed back for 4 months. And then, you know, so now he's supposed to come up for another review for his other 6 months. Now he got pushed back 4 months because they were 4 months late getting him his review meeting because they don't have the staff out there because nobody wants to work. It's ridiculous. He tells me all the time how horrible it is out there, and you know, just no video visits. I mean, I haven't laid eyes on my husband in a little over a year. It's been exactly a year and 2 weeks since I've actually laid eyes on him, because the last time I got to see him was when he was down in the holding under the U.S. Marshals, and they shipped him all the way 1,500 miles away. No video visits.
You know, that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because you know what? That's something we didn't discuss, Angie and Dorothy, is the fact that where they ship these individuals so far from the home, that is something else that should be discussed at one of these shows before June.
Exactly, because, you know, I mean, like I said, he's exactly 1,054 miles away from me. And it's, wow. You know, when I go on and I look at the average flights, just to go down there for a weekend visit, which, you know, because I would get 8 hours on Friday or Saturday and 8 hours on Sunday, which is great. But at the same time, it's going to cost me, you know, one trip down there for one weekend to visit him is going to cost me at least $1,500. Because I got to get a rental car. I got to get a hotel. I got to get food, you know, and it's just as expensive to fly.
It's a hardship.
And he has not one single person in Texas that he knows or anything. So he's down there pretty much alone, you know, and it's flat out ridiculous. We get one phone call a day because he's only allotted, I think he gets 500 minutes a month or 400 minutes a month or something like that. It equals out to where we get a 15-minute phone call a week or a day. You know, and that's him. So, you know, he'll give, you know, I'll go a day or two, you know, sometimes and not answer the phone so he can maybe use that phone call, you know, to talk to his two daughters that are adults, you know, and things like that. So he has to break up his time, you know, with his minutes, not only for me, but he has two daughters. He has a sister, you know, and his mom just passed away. So, you know, all of this is just going on, and it's just ridiculous that they got him so far away and there's no accommodations to bring him closer.
That's another issue as well that you just mentioned. His mom passed away. You know, I believe that prisoners, the incarcerated people, individuals, if a member of the family dies, mother, father, maybe aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, I believe that they should be able to be at the funeral, at the wake, with family members. I don't believe they should bring them in at night by themselves, let them pay their respects if they do at all.
I agree. I agree. Thankfully, knock on wood, my husband's mom died in January. She died, as a matter of fact, 2 days before my birthday. And then he was arrested in May. So not luckily, but she passed away while he was out, so he was able to spend that time with her. But his son is in federal prison as well, both his son and his stepson. So they all three were in, you know, in not together, you know, they're each separate different charges or whatever. But his son is in Pennsylvania, which, you know, it's a 4-hour drive for us to go visit him. His stepson is in West Virginia, which is another 4 hours, you know, drive to go visit him. And then they have him, which is my husband, their dad, all the way out in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. And they're, like I said, their health system just, it sucks, you know, and they're just, their whole way they take care of people is just, it disgusts me. And I'm very disappointed in them. It's horrible the way they treat these people. I always thought that the being incarcerated, that was supposed to be rehabilitation. You're not rehabilitating anybody when you throw them in a cage and you throw away the key and you only feed them once or twice a day. You leave them in there and you just forget about them.
I just learned recently that the governor of Texas, that he's disabled. I seen him on TV when they had the shooting at the school, the mass shooting, but he's in a wheelchair. And I did a little research on him. And one of the things that I realized is when I hear that Texas has the highest and the worst death penalty rate, and I believe Dorothy can confirm, but I believe last week there were two or three more executions. And when I thought about it, you know, sometimes people are so miserable because they are unable to do normal things the way they would like to.
Yeah.
And looking at incarcerated individuals that are healthy, I believe might irritate someone or some people that can't do the same thing. But they have that power. They have that power, that authority to destroy someone else, which probably in their heart and mind makes them feel better because they're able to destroy somebody healthy. I think this is a major problem. And again, this is why the Department of Mental Health needs to be involved in American Psychological Association, sometimes not with just the prisoners, but also with the overseers, also with these governors.
They need to be held accountable for the rules and implementations that they do, because they're even with the First Step Act, algorithm is, you know, for the point system is different than what the First Step Act, you know, does. So they're actually making people stay in longer than what they're actually supposed to, because they're not granting them their programs or their allotted hours. Or, you know, there's another one that, like I said, my husband's charge is, it's just because he had a simple possession charge of a gun, you know, it's considered a violent offense, which means he doesn't qualify for anything in the First Step Act. Which, if it wasn't considered a violent offense in court, you know, in the courtroom, why is it considered it just for the BOP? Because they make their own rules.
Exactly, making their own rules, and it makes them feel good. I don't know what everyone's medical situation is, but sometimes I believe when people are in leadership, if they have something that is dysfunctional with them or in their own family background or their own being, they, instead of addressing it like most people would, they keep it in. They continue to function, however dysfunctional or however functional they are, but they take it out on people who have made mistakes or wrongly convicted or first-time offenders or victims who became offenders. They take it out on these people. Instead of doing the rehabilitation that they vow to do, that the Department of Correction is supposed to be doing, they're using their own pain, sorrow, and suffering to take it out on other individuals that are behind those prison walls for committing a crime. But they didn't, those individuals did not put the pain on these overseers. I want to bring this up because I think it's important that people know these things do happen. You brought up a lot of good points, and a lot of these things need to be discussed further as well.
Yes, they do. And I appreciate you giving me the time to tell you, you know, to get the ball rolling on seeing if maybe we can do some kind of a change, or, you know, get them to understand that things need to be changed. You can't keep doing something that's not working. You know, if it's not working, then something needs to change.
And like, as I said before, your loved one needs to be closer to you. And this is another thing we should add to our listing, Angie and Dorothy, to add to the listing of the things that we want to bring about. Because there are other, and there's one, Dorothy, you know about Annie, New York, is the same thing. She has all kinds of medical problems, but her son is not in New York. He is in another state. And this brings on a hardship for a lot of people. So the way I look at it, these individuals that are incarcerated should be as close to home as possible.
Yes.
This is something we have to bring about as individuals.
Leona.
Yeah, you and Angie are the only two that haven't spoken yet, so please do.
Okay. Angie had to go. It's just me now because Angie had to go.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Good evening. This is Dorothy Jean. I have a loved one doing life without parole in Pennsylvania. I am also familiar with the federal prison rules. I know a lot of people in Texas that is incarcerated under the TJDOC. And I also know there is lodging before loved ones visit close to the institution that you would be going to. And there's also a taxi service free of charge there.
Are you serious?
I know a lot of people in Texas. I correspond with them. So I know all those answers.
Oh, honey, you just became my new best friend.
No, not a friend, an acquaintance.
Yes, but, oh, wow. I've been trying for over a year. He's been down there for over a year. And I've been trying to figure out how to get down there and, you know, how their rules go. But I've put my application in for to be his visitor 6 months ago, and I still haven't been approved.
Well, I know a lot of the, they're called angels of TJDOC. And I can get in touch with them and, wait a minute. You little stinker, get out of there. Come here. I'm sorry. that's my cat. And I can correspond with you. I can give you addresses. I can give you phone numbers that you can connect directly. The places of sleeping area is, I think it's $2 to $3 a night.
Wow.
And so I know some of the people that do have the homes for that near the prisons. So as far as it's up to you if you wanted to get a hotel, but I know the avenue to take.
Yeah.
And I am familiar with TJDOC. I'm familiar with the federal.
Okay.
I correspond. The friend I have is in Jessup, Georgia, and he will be moving to Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
And I have known him for approximately 8 years, so I know all the rules of the feds.
Wow. I'm just learning. I've been learning since my husband got in trouble. Even his attorney said, I bet you I could pass the bar. And he said, if it was just for federal, you probably could.
I've been involved in over 25 years.
Wow. Wow. I would really like to have your phone number or an email address or something to where we can correspond back and forth.
I will be glad to give it to you. The telephone number is 215-858-0095.
Okay.
My email address is Jean Angel 04
Yahoo.com. At Yahoo. Okay. I will email you right now. So you have my email address, because mine's RhondaRenee8615. So would you see that one? I'm coming up.
Okay. Also, you have, do you have Securus?
We had go through Core Link.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Do you have, there is a telephone connection for federal prison.
That's Global Telling.
No, it is not. And
not Global
you can get 600 minutes for $30 and indefinite texting.
Whoa, okay.
So there are ends to the federal.
Okay.
And I shall give you them. They will give you a phone number. You can, and he will also get a phone number with it.
Okay.
So I will give you, I'm going to be kind of busy tonight. I have a video call with my son at 7:30 for 45 minutes. And but I will get you all the telephone numbers and the people to connect with, and to correspond.
Thank you so,
but
so
there
very
are
much. You really are my angel.
Texas.
Yes.
So don't
okay, thank
that
you.
That there isn't any.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate everything that you guys do. I really seriously do. Thank you, Angie, for putting me onto this thing today.
And Rhonda, again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get anyone that's going to be working with us on these calls and emails and letter writing, we're trying to get them to research in their state the legislative members' names, titles, email addresses, and phone numbers, and also the media, because the media does not go into the prisons. And as they say all the time, they report one-sided stories. They report the side of the law enforcement, of the police, of the victims or friends of the victims. They don't get the full truth, or they don't get the whole story. And they need to start going into the prisons, and they need to start meeting with the incarcerated. So this is one of the main things that I want to see happen in the whole month of June, every day, to contact the media and get them to start going into the prisons where they should, or they should not be reporting anything.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
One, he's an author. His name is Casey Sherman. And Casey Sherman put down that he double dated with an incarcerated individual, which he never double dated with that person. But he was going to write the story of that person. He knew the person. They played football together. But he had an article put in the paper that he was going to do this story on this individual and that they had double dated. Now, those three words, we double dated, even though it's only three words, it is terrible, because those three words can discredit someone and they can distort the truth. So this is an author. So we need to start looking at the media. We have to start looking at these journalists, these reporters that report one stories. They don't get incarcerated, but they to other people. They're getting one-sided stories, which in true reality, if justice was to prevail, they could be sued. And these are things we also have to look at.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you know, like I said, like, let me come on here and just, you know, give a little bit of awesomely great information that I received just by kind of, you know, getting it out there about the Fed system, because it's so much different, and to me it's worse off than what, you know, the state is. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, our whole entire prison system needs to be fixed. But,
thing. Everybody talks about their state and how bad their state is. But if I got more involved, like Dorothy said, she's been doing this for 20-something years. I've been doing this for 20-something years, too. A lot of the old-timers, the advocates, the activists, the old-timers that were there around when I was first starting out, they are, most of them are gone. But they will tell you, if people do get more involved in the criminal justice arena, in the injustices, they will notice every single state has the same issues, the same problems, but every single state, because it's not federal, every single state is operating differently. And this is why we have to reach out to the governors of all of these states, and we need to get them all on track, all doing the same, all consistent. Now, Brian Winters, a former politician from Vermont, he is no longer a politician, and he started an American Union. Now, Brian Winters in Vermont and also in Maine, they never took away the prisoners' rights to vote, first of all. They never took away the prisoners' rights to vote. And that's a problem right there. Because every other state has taken away the rights. So Vermont and Maine have the best reputation when it comes to that. But these states have to get involved, and they have to get in sync with one another, because every state is operated differently, and it's almost as though we're on a different continent with different countries instead of one continent of all states. And this is a major problem. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Dorothy, but you can fill in there.
Well, I'm on the same track as you are. And I feel that we have to get together as a individually. And also, we have to connect with the governors and bring forth the change that should be done. And they should not excuse pussyfoot around and say they're going to do something and they don't do shit. And that's where I have fought a lot. And, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the most oil. And we have to be those squeaky wheels. If you shut your mouth and some have diarrhea of the mouth, that they don't even talk about the prison situations. We are here to talk about justice in the corrupt situations, not on government yet. That's going to be an avenue that we will speak on entirely. But I want us to focus on the mass incarceration, the mental illness, the death penalty, life without parole, also life. That's what we are going to focus on for June.
Exactly.
And I am on board. In fact, I moved on my damn furniture so I could just do this work. So I am on board, and everybody has to be on board too. And no diary of the mouth of other topics, but prison reform.
Exactly. And you know what?
And you have to know, I say what I feel, and I don't mince my words.
And we have, you know, they say, you have anything to fear. Well, when we have a government jumps, as soon as they hear of events like this, or they hear of any kind of event or any kind of thing, they all of a sudden they panic and they start watching and monitoring and everything else. They don't realize, there's a saying, if you don't do anything wrong, you don't have anything to fear. But if you're doing something wrong, you're going to be jumping at the word of protest or you know, events or call-ins or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I wanted to say, this is something that is talked about a lot by not only the incarcerated people, but also the family members of other incarcerated and people out in the communities. Where are the families of these incarcerated individuals? Where are they? What are they doing for their loved one other than talking? You know, it's sad because I don't get funding for my organization, but I know I have put time and time, and you probably too, Dorothy, paperwork, printing and ink and everything else to print hundreds of pages for one incarcerated individual at a time because the family members have not done it. I did a lot of research to a family member of one incarcerated individual. She never sent it to her loved one. So he had got in touch with me, and he asked me if I could send it directly to him, which meant that I had to print all this out. Then I could only send so many pages at a time because every prison in the United States of America, they say, operates differently. Some prisons, they have 5 pages at a time, some 11 pages, some unlimited. I don't know. But it's really sad when family members can spend their time talking about issues, joining or starting these groups. It's almost as though they're thinking about themselves and only themselves. They want to get knowledge. They want to get a group. But it's not about them, it's about their loved ones. That's what we're all about. That's what the advocacy work in prison advocacy work is all about. Advocating for the incarcerated men, women, and youth. Not us, not our girlfriends, not our aunts and uncles, but the family members that are incarcerated. We have so many people on Facebook groups. And where are they? Where are they for their sons, their daughters? And that was sad because when the young man asked me if I could send it directly to him, he knew that I sent it. He knew that I emailed it to him. And I didn't send it to him.
Leona,
said
you have to realize when your loved one goes in behind the glass door. I don't like to call them inmates or convicts. They're human, and they're one of someone's loved ones. They're not just a number. But referring to that situation that you're talking about, where are the parents, or where are it's a girlfriend, or where is the wife, where is the husband? It is a known fact that after 5 years, they get tired affiliating themselves with someone incarcerated. It is a known fact that after 5 years, they go in the wild blue yonder, and the loved one is there by himself. And this is sad. And I said, my son has been in Pennsylvania for 25 years. I'm doing the time with him, and I won't stop. But I just don't do the time with my son. When there's a problem, I solve it. I make sure it is addressed. That is for everyone incarcerated in the three prisons around my son. And I work hard at that, and I make telephone calls, and I make sure they have clean, white water, not dirty water. And I go to where the problem is. I don't care if I juggler vein. It's going to get addressed. And Leona, you can send up to 20 pages in a manila envelope to a loved one or someone that you're doing work for.
No, not in all prisons. That's the sad thing about it. You can send, for those that can have 11 pages sent, you can send them 11 pages double-sided, which would be like 22 pages, but they would be double-sided,
right.
So that would be the 11. But then, and for those that can only receive 5, it would be, you know, double.
Right.
I sometimes I will send it legal. That's the only way that they can get more pages than the norm. But other than that,
you can do it that way.
Yeah.
And they go through the mail room, and they, because I have sent up to 40 in a in a manila envelope.
And what
or
state?
A white one.
What state would that be?
PA, and also the feds in Georgia.
Okay.
Washington.
Yeah, the federal, I think they probably wouldn't have limits. Although they might, I don't know.
Yeah, they do. But if you send it in the big envelopes, it goes through. Because you can say transcripts or something on there. And what you sent wasn't transcripts?
No, these were resources.
These were
resources.
Well, that would also be, you know, knowledgeable for him to get that also.
Yeah.
Because it was pertaining to help him.
You know, but as they say, it bothers me. It really bothers me to know that there's families out there that they don't even make an effort to try to help their loved one. And a lot of them don't even know what happened during the time of the offense. They don't even know what happened to their loved one. But families...
They don't care.
This is it. And then when you see families that don't care, you can understand why a lot of people end up in prison. But if they don't have the support when they really need the parent or the friends or the family members, whatever, the siblings, if they don't have the support once they go to prison, people forget about them, then you can imagine what it was like when they were on the outside. They didn't have the support
then. Correct. They are too busy in their own little functional group.
And that's what it is.
And they don't care what goes inside.
You know, it's sad because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are behind those bars that would have taken this off for their loved ones or for people that in need. And unfortunately, some have done so much for their families, only to find out after they go to prison that they don't even get the support. And that's why every time I go on Facebook and I see all these people that are talking about the problem, crying about loved one, and yet we don't anticipate when others are trying to love one and others. You know,
you're blocking out. I lost you. You blocked out. You were going in and out.
You hear me? You hear me now?
Honey, you're going in and out. The reception is bad.
Dorothy?
What, honey?
This is how the government, I am doing absolutely nothing, and we're not hearing one another. Can you hear me now?
I can now, but it was getting blocked out.
Okay. Yeah, these are only some of the things that people have.
We have little munchkins that doesn't like what we're saying.
Yeah. But you know
but
what?
We will overlook them and win.
And this is what I say. People are too afraid to come on and speak because of this.
Yep.
You know, they're the problems. If people are going to be afraid to speak out in a country where we have free speech, then there's a serious problem, a very serious problem.
Yeah.
But you know,
we
have to look at saving lives. We have to look at helping these incarcerated individuals, because if we left it up to our government, 90% of the U.S. citizens would be in prison. 10% would be in the free world. And sometimes they think that's exactly what they're trying to do, is make sure they get everybody in this country except these people in power and these corporations, get everyone in prison like sardines instead of addressing the problems. Now, Dorothy, I know you have to go at 7:30. You have that video visit. So we're going to be closing in the next 20 minutes. So again, if you want to let the audience know how they can reach you if they want to help or if they want to contact
sure.
you for any reason.
Sure. Well, I usually don't give my last name, but I'm not afraid of anybody out there.
Dorothy Jane. That's Dorothy Jane is good enough. And Dorothy, I'm sorry, I'm always calling you Dorothy instead of Dorothy Jane. But
Dorothy, I just want to answer you.
Dorothy Jane, just give them your email.
Okay. Dorothy Jane, the telephone number is 215-858-0095. I live in Greenville, South Carolina. I have a Pennsylvania number that I will not get rid of. And my email address is djeanangel04@yahoo.com. And remember,
okay. People,
we have a loved one. They're human. They're not just a number. I don't like to call them convicts or inmates. They're human. And they don't have a voice. We are their voice. On the outside, they have nothing inside. So let's get on board, get on that train, and let's solve a lot of problems. And we can do it. Thank you very much. I do have a connection with my son tonight, a video, and he's a very special young man. Well, no, he's 52, but he is my heart and blood. And I do the time with him. And who was the young lady? Leona.
Rhonda and Angie.
Angie. Rhonda, very nice meeting.
They have to
go.
Is
Rhonda still on?
No, she had to go, and Angie sent me a message saying that she got dropped. So they have already left. But I wanted to say, audience, you can reach me at nvopres@gmail.com. You can reach me on Messenger with Facebook. And for those of you who want to participate. I feel really unsettled with a lot of advocates out there and family members of the incarcerated who have not called in, who have not participated. You're not doing us any favors. You're doing favors. You're helping your own loved one. So I want to reemphasize on that, because we live in a country that's so gung-ho, they're so insecure that they need attention for themselves. They need the focus on themselves. They seem to think when people are trying to help them and their loved ones, or trying to bring things together to resolve the issues in unity as a group, that they're doing someone a favor. They're not doing anyone a favor. So any of you who are out there listening that want to see criminal justice reform, that want to help your loved one, that want to see some changes in the DOC around the country, if you're not going to be doing something about it, then don't even try. Don't try to impress anybody, because you're not impressing anyone, and you're not doing anyone any favors, and you're not doing anything favors for your own loved one. You're not helping them. Dorothy said she will go to the ends of the world for her son. She will be there for him all the time. We all that are participating in this are not only trying to be there for our loved ones, we're trying to be there for your loved ones. So if you care at all for your loved one, you will join us, and you will make them proud of you. And then,
amen.
Until we see some progress in this whole thing, I can't even think about these people that do so much talking and no action. You know, there's some that have even rejected some of the notices about the show, even though it pertains to the groups that they have named themselves after. There's a lot of groups there, Facebook groups, that are supposed to be for prison reform, that are supposed to be for criminal justice reform, that are supposed to be for their loved ones serving life sentences or their loved ones on death row, and yet they reject the notices of these radio shows. So I just want to get that out there, because I feel bad that we're living in a country that does a lot of talk. I've been to 11 third world countries. Well, I don't even call them third world anymore, because none of them are third world. But I've been in 11 countries, and I have never seen a country as dysfunctional as this country that we live in, the United States of America. Because in this country, it's all about power. It's all about fame. It's all about greed. It's all about vengeance. It's all about retaliation. It's all about racism. It's all about nothing. It's supposed to be the blessed country, the united country, representatives from every country in the world. We're supposed to be coming together in unity to make sure that America does stay great, that the United States of America is as powerful and as proud as it should be for doing the right things, not for doing the wrong things.
Leona, I'm going to get off, but I want to say one thing. People, you have to walk in their shoes just a couple of miles and see what they go through. It's not a nice situation. Let's work together and change the system. Change these corrupt rules. We can do it, but we need helping hands. And the activists out, don't worry about what you're going to wear for a visit. Come on board with us. This is more important. Leona, God bless you. Angels be with everyone. And I'm going to sign off because I have a video visit. Love you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you so much for being consistent in your visit. Do you tell Shane we send our love and blessings? And we're out there fighting.
I will.
Please. Thank you.
I sure will.
See you later.
Thank you, honey. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Leona.
Tomorrow.
We have
tomorrow.
We have tomorrow, right?
What's today? Oh, tomorrow. Oh, yes, tomorrow, Wednesday. Yes, at 1
Good
o'clock
morning.
P.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Good morning.
We've got so much on our minds, but you know what? The sad thing is, when I hear these people say, well, And one of them did. She was coming on a couple of times for a while, but her son's coming out and getting ready to come out. And she says, well, she's got so much going on. She's overwhelmed like no one else is, right?
Leona, let me tell you something. When their loved ones get freedom, they don't want to be involved. But there's other men and women that need our voice. And you know what? When their loved one goes behind the gates again, she'll come crying for help. Well, you know what I can say? Get on board.
Well, you know what? Like I said, a lot of these people that are inside because they didn't have the support from their family members before they went in, and they don't have it now, unfortunately. But thank you so much, Dorothy. And yes, we do have tomorrow's show, and I forgot who we have on tomorrow.
I love you.
Again, I'm just going to say this one thing. We don't have to waste our time. We don't have to waste our time. If people are not interested, we will find out in the month of June. And if that's the case, we will have to fight for our own. And we will have to get those that are on board now. We're getting emails. We're getting letters. We're getting phone calls from people that are saying they're on board with us. They will be participating. However, some of them can't come on because of their work. And that's why we scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight. Some are still working. But for those that are not working, we did the schedule for that purpose, for you to be able to make it on the show. I don't need to be on the show right now because I've been going all day today with all of the things that I have going on. But I want to thank the audience that has been listening. I ask you to please share the information. Please get it out there. And please, if you are an advocate, if you are a family member of the incarcerated, if you're afraid to mention your name, don't mention your name. Just come on. Give us a first name that doesn't exist if you want. But if it's criticism, if it's for questions, if it's for support, if it's for whatever, your loved one needs you if you have someone inside. And if you don't have anyone inside, you're fortunate and you're blessed. And maybe you need to thank God. So far, it hasn't happened. Maybe you need to thank God for making sure it hasn't happened to you. Because sometimes blessings are given can be taken away, as it was in the Bible with Nebuchadnezzar. So we are going to end this episode now. I thank everybody for listening in, and we will not be closing now.